It's not the blood, it's that life in the blood. Oh my, what a promise we have. When I see the blood, that blood will keep death away, it'll keep all sin, all darkness, all depression. It's something that we can claim in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with everyone again. We had a good vacation, and we're just thankful to be here to see what the Lord has for us this morning. We want to greet any visitors that are here. And just make yourself at home and free to worship. Amen. That's what we come to do, is worship in spirit and in truth. Let's sing that chorus, "He is awesome in this place," in the key of C. And we'll sing it a couple of times, and then we'll have Brother Collie to come up here for some responsive reading. How many loves the Word of God this morning? I tell you, it's encouraging. There's just something about, you know, the more I just take in the Word of God, the more I understand Peter when he said, "No man has ever spake like this. You alone have the words of eternal life." Amen. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. My, oh, he's mighty this morning. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. In this place, Abba Father, and you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. Oh, just lift your hands and worship him. Invite him in this morning. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, just surrender all to him. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. And you are awesome in this place. My, sing it to him once more as Brother Collie comes. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. In this place, Abba Father, and you are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, to be here again this morning.
Amen.
To bless us and give us strength in all things, and we're thankful for it. Now, let us, we're going to read, you know, from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful, Lord, that we have you to guide us, Lord, to lead us. Father, we thank you for sending your word unto us continually. Lord, let us step aside our own thinking, Lord, and hold fast unto what you're bringing forth unto us. Lord, for your words are ever true and ever kind. They're strong, Lord. There's many things that we look at. We don't realize how simple it is just to hear one word, Lord, that you bring to us and give us strength. We ask you the words that we read this morning, Lord, to be a part of our life, God, we are doing all things for your goodness and for your mercy. We ask you to remember Brother Wade as we prepare to bring forth unto us. Lord, we thank you for what you sent through unto us through Brother Bob this morning. Lord, just bless us and give us strength. Let our confession always be that your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I would think sometimes how things we grow, and they're so simple that God bring onto us that we don't ever think of it. I was thinking when I was born, I was tied to them. I couldn't speak to Dr. D or something, but as I grew, God blessed and took care of it. But there were still words I couldn't say. Like, I couldn't say Lord's. That was a simple word, but I couldn't do it. But God healed it. That's a simple thing. And he always just healed simple things that mean so much unto us if we believe it. Amen. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases.
Who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth me with the blood of kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always side, neither will he keep his anger forever. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. God bless you. May be seated.
Say every verse of that was a promise we can take and apply. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap. We just thank him, Lord, for thank him for the encouraging ways that he speaks to us. He just knows what to speak in the time of need. Amen. Where did Brother Marco go? Can you come up here and take up our offering this morning? Sing that chorus in the presence of Jehovah, the key of C. Amen. So good to be in his presence, I tell you. When he comes on the scene, all things are made right. There's an atmosphere there that just encourages us to, as Brother Bob was saying, to speak the word. You know what Brother Colley was saying there with the Lord helping him to pronounce that. Many of you know my own dad's testimony of how he had a speech impediment. And he was called out there with Brother Branham's meetings. And it wasn't just an instant healing. He had to go forth and claim that. And it took years. But one day, God came down and just healed it. And he never stuttered no more. Out of all the kids, none of us had inherited that. And so when God establishes a healing, it's forever on his word. Amen. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, oh God. Oh, heart. this morning. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, oh God Almighty, Prince of troubles, they vanish, and hearts are mended, for a sin the presence of our King.
Hallelujah.
He's in the house, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, there is no more doubt. Oh, praise His name, praise His name. He's in the house. Verse. Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus, said that she was sleeping. And He took her by the hand. She began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to sing. He's in the house, oh, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Oh, now there is hope, there's no more doubt. Praise His name, praise His name. He's in the house. Sing that little first verse again. Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. But as He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to say, He's in the house. Hallelujah. Death had to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Oh, now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Like that little girl, dead in all our sins, till Jesus touched his heart of mine and gave me life again. I'm just a house of clay, but ever since, oh, don't you remember that day? There's a light that shines on me for all the world to see. He's in this house. This morning, pray. We were like that little girl, dead, and oh, we all can say that. So Jesus touched this heart of mine, and he gave me life again. Hallelujah. I'm just a house of clay, and ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines on me for all the world. Let's all stand. He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name. Praise his name. He's in the house. Hallelujah. Just amen. Praise his name this morning. Amen. Oh my, darkness has to flee when there's life that comes in. It can't stay there.
Amen.
And he's in our house. Amen. He's here. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, How Great Is Our God, in the key of G before our brother comes out. He's a great God we serve. Hallelujah. And I tell you, he knows all of our needs this morning, great or small, whatever circumstances is here. He is here to take you to the next level in your relationship with him. He is preparing a bride. I believe she's here, and it's not long, I tell you. And because you just see the word of God coming to pass. You just see it quickening in your own life. And that's how great he is. Hallelujah. Let's just praise his name before Brother Wade comes out this morning. Hallelujah. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. About that voice. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. That is the Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, how great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how. Sing that chorus once more to him. Oh.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. I think the question's been answered. The question's been answered. How great is our God? We have the devil's answer. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are not to be knocked down, drug around. But just tell him how great your God is. Because you know Satan had a choice. He chose the wrong way. He wanted to be God. But God made us God. That makes the difference. He made Satan his right-hand man, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted somebody that would know how to worship him. Know how to praise him. And when you sing, "How great is our God," you answer that question. The world can't answer that question. But you answer that question. How great is that God? How great is your God? Amen. It's one you got to take home with you. How great is your God? The world has a God. The prophet of God said it's the God of this evil age. And they worship him just like we worship God. Amen. But their end is way different than our end is going to be. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here and smiling faces and good to have our brother and sister here with us. She's been here before, but the brother hasn't. So good to have you with us today. Good to have every one of you here. And thank God that my wife got back with all your kids, whether y'all didn't want that or not. She brought them back.
A lot of help.
Yeah, had a little help, Sister Regina and Sister Rebecca. And we're... Sister Janine, they said they're going to try to make it through service today. June asked me this morning, she said, "Bring me a Tylenol." So I did. Y'all did that to my wife. But they had a good time. They had a good time, and I appreciate Sister June for doing that. She did it with her... she took some of her inheritance money that her mother gave her when she passed away, and that's what she did for the people. Amen. Wasn't anything from the church. It was out of the goodness of her heart that she wanted to take the young girls at a certain age and get them all together and then have a good time in the Lord. So we appreciate that. And good to have back. Good to have Brother Joe and Sister Rachel back from that place out there west of here. somebody saw on that book thing you see with your face. And thought they'd went to Paris. No, they just have things like that out in that city they went to. So good to have them back with us. And I know they had a good time because Rachel's mom and dad are always really nice to see and be with. And we appreciate Brother Daniel and Sister Debbie allowing us to have their daughter out here for a little while. So it's good to have them out here. Good. I'd like to see them come out here. All right, by way of announcements, I know it's a wonderful spirit, but let me get this through and then we'll start. We're going to have communion and foot washing this afternoon, by the way. This will be in the first day of May, and T will do the birthday thing this afternoon for all of you. But I'll be speaking this coming Wednesday. Bible study is this coming Saturday. It will be from 6 to 8. We have our Zoom camera set up and our Zoom microphone set up downstairs. So if you want to, if you can't be here, I know the Ohio group's going to be there online, and good to have them here this morning. Good to feel their presence. And but we will be studying on the rapture still again in the millennium. But if you want to get into that meeting, then see Brother Luis or somebody, Brother Joe, Brother Bob, somebody like that, and ask them how to get on. And you can get on and you can watch and you can ask questions and be a part of the meeting. We're getting to where we may need to do that more often because we don't have many places for people to sit downstairs. But it's a wonderful time. Bible study is really nice. We enjoy the time there. You can answer questions and just feel right at home, be able to stop and say, hey, what do you mean by that? Amen? So it's good. It's a good thing that we've done that for so many years. So also remember, the next day, though, is Mother's Day. And we'll be getting gifts for every mother that is here. But I will not be here. Brother Jewel Forney has asked me for months to come and preach for him. So I'm going to be at his place on May the 8th. And Brother Luis is going to be at Brother Dutch Scott's on that same day. Brother Bob will be doing the evening service. Brother Aaron will be doing the morning service. That way Brother Bob can continue his wonderful, wonderful Sunday school class. Amen. Just keep it up. Brother Luis will be speaking for us on the 11th, which will be that Wednesday. Also remember, Brother Kidre Diggs will be here on May the 21st for our youth service. That'll be on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And then we'll only have one service on May the 22nd. I announced last Sunday about us doing something on May the 15th, but we're going to wait. And I think that weekend, since we're having a youth service, and Sister Karina from Morales from Ohio is flying down. She wants to be baptized.
Thank you. All right.
Quick.
When that baptism was for two people, the Lord showed me five would be baptized. She's the fifth.
She just didn't come. She's coming now. So she's going to be baptized. So we're going to open the new baptistry up. Amen. And if anybody wants to be baptized that Sunday afternoon, we will only have one service. Brother Kidre Diggs will be here with us. But on May the 22nd, there'll be a baptismal service after the first service. There will be no second service. And we'll be baptizing whoever wants to be baptized in our new baptistry that we just bought. And we'll put it together and fill it up with water. All right. And that will be then later on, we'll have a rededication service for all of our marriages and all those things. A rededication of our lives, maybe lives a couple of Sundays after that. So just keep that in your mind. That's what's coming up. Remember in June, we got Father's Day fishing trip at Terrence and Zach's Pond over in Banks County. And then also July the 22nd through the 25th, we're having a youth, a youth service in Ohio. So if anybody wants to go, if enough of us go, Brother Dale said he would charter a bus. So if anybody wants to go, that will be July the 22nd through the 25th. Everybody with me on that? That'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday driving back home. And there's a sign-up sheet downstairs on the refrigerator. We need to know, even if you think you may not get to go, if you think you might could go, you need to write your name down if you'd like to go with us. Remember, we all went to Jeffersonville that time, it's been probably 15 years ago, and had a good time. But we're going to all, if we can't, then we'll just rent some vans, and we're going to go up and have a youth service there. They've already, they've already rented a building for for Saturday and Sunday there in Lorain, Ohio. So it's about an 11-and-a-half-hour trip, 12 hours, and about an hour and a half to fly. Tickets are about $300 a piece now, so if you'd like to fly. But if you want to go in the bus, then just please let us know. Amen? Let's turn to the book of John. I was thinking, I heard a song this weekend. I was talking about Jehovah Rapha. And I know Sister... I can't remember Rachel Canada's name. Sister Rachel Canada always, she would sing that song about the seven compound names of Jehovah. And it would be nice if we could get her to do that again. Michael, you're too big. I can't see you. It would be nice to get you to do that again. But Jehovah Rapha, we've been talking about healing and comfort. That's what Jehovah Rapha is healing. Not just healing and comfort. God. is the most comfortable person you'll ever need to be around. Amen. Like I've always said, I want the devil to be uncomfortable. But I want God to be comfortable in my house, as we were singing. So God bless you. We're going to get into this subject again with Who Is It, Son of Man? Part 33. His preacher called me the other day, or we talked the other day, and he said, you're on part 30. I said, well, so. I was looking online last night, and Brother Donnie's on number 253 of the church. So get off of that. I hope he's watching. Not Brother Donnie, but the other guy. Part 33 is not bad. I'm just slow. Amen? And the bride says?
Amen.
Okay. But it's for your benefit. Right. Not for mine. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. I know where I'm going with this. It's like Dad says, I know where I'm going. I'm just trying to get everybody to catch up to where we're going to. And we all need to get there together.
Yes,
amen? Leave nobody behind. John 1, verse 1, let's bow our heads. Sorry to keep you standing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We ask you, Lord, that you would, just for a little time, Lord, use this vessel, Lord, to speak to your people. And Father, give us revelation more than anything, Lord, because that's what we need. That's what we thrive off of, Lord. The things of the world are the things of the world, but Lord, your revelation, when you come, Lord, and give us that, it is a power that the world will never understand. Is to get a revelation from the Almighty. So today I pray that you'd give us that revelation, Lord. Be with the ones that are saved. Truly, Lord, be Jehovah Rapha today. Lord, you're the healer. You're the one that comforts us, Lord, in time of need. And Father, I pray that you'd bless us now and take care of the service. Be with the ones that are sick here and the ones that are at home, Lord. The ones that are traveling. Thank you, Lord, for giving them all traveling mercies to get to where they're going and to get back. And I pray that you'd be with us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. Now, remember, that's not, we know that Word was made flesh. We know the Son of Man came on earth. But the question is, who is this Son of Man? Well, now, he's already gone. He's already in another dispensation called the Son of God. He's not in the Son of Man dispensation unless we are in the Son of Man dispensation. Everybody with me? All right. So as we come into the Son of Man dispensation, then the Word was made flesh where? In you.
Yes.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. Let's give Brother Anderson and them a hand clap back in the back. Look at all this different. They're trying to make it where you can see it better. They're trying to get it to where we can be a little more active with our in our sermons and our songs, and it really thrills my heart to hear you sing even a new song, because usually when we sing a new song, it's real quiet. Because you mumble the words. How many of us have mumbled through the verses? We mostly know the chorus, but we mumble through the verses. Well, we need to sing the verses, but now we got it to where we can. So we just appreciate Brother Dale for allowing us to do that, amen, and giving us the opportunity, and then God give us the opportunity to put all these brothers together to be able to help, and because we sure couldn't do it ourselves. Amen. We love all of you with the love of the Lord. So now let's go to Romans 8, verse 18. And today we're going to talk. I'm going to kind of piggyback on what Brother Aaron Wednesday night. That was a good one. That was a good one. They're all good, but you know what? You can have a good meal and then you can have a great meal. It's all food. But you can go back and say, I want that great meal again. Yeah. Well, I'm going to kind of piggyback on what he was bringing Wednesday. And I thank God for Brother Bob for doing this chart you're fixing to see here in just a minute. And kind of break it down for us and kind of back up just a minute. Instead of rushing up the statue of perfect man, let's kind of back up just a little bit. And let's start at the foundation. So Romans 8, verse 18 says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. So whatever is going to happen, you're going to have to make it happen.
Amen.
And God has predestinated a group that will do that. So plug yourself in. Plug yourself into that. I like what Brother Ernie always said. He said, when you get born again, you're plugged into the eternal. You know, a light doesn't do you any good unless it's plugged in. A refrigerator doesn't do you any good unless it's plugged in to the right outlet. So I believe we're the right instrument, and we got the right outlet. So let's plug ourselves in today. Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or creation, this whole world is waiting for the manifestation of us. Let's not say another age or all Christendom. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Only the predestinated to adoption is what is going to happen to. Amen? Is everybody okay with that? All right, so let's go to quote number one. We've read it before. We'll read it again, but I like this because, look, we always talk about faith, and we're going to talk about faith today at the bottom of the pyramid. We always talk about having more faith. Brother Wade, how can I have more faith? Well, Brother Brown said, read your Bible and pray. That's one thing to do. But also, it tells you real plain right here. Teaching places a man positionally what he is. And we, the bride, can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. Now, that's a faith that goes beyond the new birth. Have faith and be born again. But does that end your journey? No, it just starts your journey. So you got to add to your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What? Something's pulling us up that statue of a perfect man. It's taking us to a place. And I told you the other day, you know, you look at those people over in Israel, and even the Orthodox Jew who thinks that God's coming, that he's not already here, all right, they're doing this the whole time. Why? Because they say God is moving always, and when they're talking to God, they want to be moving. All right, so that's the same way with me and you. Some of you need to practice this. If you'll do this more often, you won't sleep in service. Now, you might, if you get your head down far enough, don't hit the person in front of you, and please don't hit the bench, because then we'll be praying for the sick again. But just remember, though, you know what? Keep your mind working. Keep your mind working. Keep your mind working about God. I was watching Brother Donnie a couple of nights ago, and he's preaching on the church, and I wanted to kind of listen to what he was talking about. And he said, you know what? He said, he's talking about his people. He said, you know what? He said, you grandparents, he said, you'll take your grandkids to a ball game and make them play. They don't want to be there. They don't even want, they're standing out there and it's supposed to be batting left-handed, they're batting right-handed, and they got a glove instead of a bat. But you're out there going, what? Come on, man. Come on, let's go. And he gets up there, and you know, Johnny finally does get the bat in the right hand, and he hits it, and it goes 2 feet. And he said, now, Johnny doesn't look over at grandparents, and they're going. They're going, woo, Johnny, go, go, Johnny, go. He said, that's what we ought to be doing. Doesn't matter if you hit the ball that far. Doesn't matter if the preacher don't even hit the ball. You ought to be alive. You ought to be able to say, sick him. A good amen. Amen means so be it. You know what you're doing? When you say so be it, it's according to you. It's going back to you. If we talk about healing, you say amen, then you know what? It's coming back to you. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not, but you know, it's a two-way street, you know. But let's go to Hebrews 6. We're all in Hebrews, Brother Bob and myself. And I love the book of Hebrews. So let's read Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles. Now, so that's what we're going to talk about coming today is moving. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into what? Perfection. We're going to see what that means, because a lot of times we look at perfection and we think, can't get there. I got all this. I got all that. I got this baggage. Remember, I told you, put it in the sea of God's forgiveness and quit fishing. Right. Quit trying to fish it back up. Right. But we're going on to perfection, which is completion, and we'll read what the Greek lexicon is going to say about perfection. So let's not look at perfection as what you think perfection has been all your life. The Bible says, be therefore perfect. We know that's complete. But only in the bride in the end time can we be complete. Amen. They are waiting on us. Amen. They without us can't be made perfection. But without us, they're not. But with us, they can be perfect. So it says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. All right, this we will do if God permits. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. Just kind of lay a foundation for this. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, perfect, perfection, same thing, perfect, is come. Now we know Jesus Christ is the only perfect one. But remember, he had problems. Bob just read them. Bob just read the problems that he had. He was tempted. He was tried. All these different things. Listen, and we're going to talk about this a little later, but I want you to see two words, fall and fail. They're not the same word. By you getting up this morning and needing to eat and having the thoughts in your mind, you have failed. Ah. That amen's not coming from anywhere. We all fail. We fail God by having to eat to sustain our energy because it wasn't so in the garden. We're going to have to get up and go to work. You know what? You and I are going to have to think about thoughts that we think of carnality during the week. That's where we fail. But I'm going to read you a scripture here. Maybe it'll be this afternoon where Peter says, if you get these virtues working in your life, you'll never fall. You can't fall. If you're born again, there is no way you can go past that, what we're going to talk about today, backwards. You can fail, but you can't fall. Amen? We fail all the time. So you say, well, brother, now you're talking about us failing and you're talking about us being perfect. Let's just hang on a minute. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now look, not done away like we don't need that anymore. That's your foundation that we're building on. All right. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, hello, somebody, we have got to become men in God. You can be an 18-year-old man in God. You can be a 15-year-old man in God if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. So man is not just age, it's maturity. I put away childish things. Hello, I put away childish things. And don't pick them back up. All right, the Greek lexicon, let's go to the next one. Now, those two words mean of full age. Look, brought to its end. That's why the Bible says they without us cannot be brought to an end. You say, oh, brother, the end, that's death. Death is the end. What did Brother Brown say the seventh seal was? The end of all things. Not an end like falling off and here's the end of the cliff. No, it's just a beginning of something else. It's bringing us to completion or perfection. And we add this and we add that and we add virtue, knowledge, temperance. But we'll get to that in a little bit. We got to stay down. Keep me down at the foundation here. Brought to its end. Finished. Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Now you and I are in that position today. You are not wanting for anything to complete your birth or to complete your journey in life. You've been given the Word of God. You've been given the divine interpretation of the Word of God, the correct interpretation by the prophet of the hour. And you've been given a fivefold ministry that knows what they're doing. You got to decide whether you're in the right place or not. Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Perfect. That which is perfect. Consummate human integrity and what? Virtue. Of men, full grown, adult, of full age and mature. So let's go to the next one. I like this next one. This is what perfection means. Go to the next Greek lexicon. Let's go up. There we go. Finisher. It doesn't say perfect. It says a perfecter. Someone that's going to perfect you. You can't perfect yourself. But when you come to this completeness or this fullness, then you have a perfecter. You have the Holy Ghost that comes inside of you and molds you, vulcanizes so much you can't pull it apart. And he's sitting there waiting on what? Your faith. one who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection, and so set before us the highest example of faith. Listen, the highest example of faith is when we take a body change. That's the highest example of faith. And the ones that are going to take a body change without death, that's what we're looking at, and that's what we need to be, but everybody's not going to get there. But get the new birth. Get the new birth. That's your journey. That's what that, like I said before, it does matter about these virtues, but if you become a Christian and God wants to work with you and you just really, you know, got the wowsy wowsy woos and I can't do this and I can't do that, then you know what? God's going to say, okay, well, that's fine. He's the high priest of what? Your confession. He goes off what you confess. Regardless, it doesn't matter if you're having the worst day of your life, confess. That God is inside your soul. Amen. And listen, we'll get to it in just a second, but I want you to realize something. To come to perfection, like I said before, we can fail, but we can't fall. Once you get born again, you can't fall. Like Hebrews says, fall away. Those people that fall away never got the new birth. Okay? But let's go back on our side. If you are sealed in, then the confirmation that you got the new birth is you can look through your life and see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness working in your life. Testimonies. Life. Where God does something in your life. Because you're his child. And he's always going to help his child more than he helps the world. So let's go to Ephesians 4:11. We've read this many times before. But we're going to read it again. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the bringing us to an end. We, like I said before, when I said a minute ago, your end, you thought death. No. You can't end the Christian's life. There's no way you can end the Christian's life, no more than you can end God's life. Sure, he had a human body that had an end. It died. But guess what? That same body is sitting on the throne today, interceding for us. Amen? So Ephesians 4 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I don't see how in the world people think they can get edified any other way. If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. But pressing play is okay, but it ain't going to get you much full maturity. Full maturity's got to come through a fivefold ministry. I didn't say it. The Bible did. All right, fight the Bible. Don't fight people. Listen, we're not fighting people. Fight the Bible if you want to fight somebody. Give it in the Bible. Say, here, read this. What do you say, Selah? It's in the Bible. Amen. Until the measure, until we all come into the unity of faith. Wow, unity. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's not knowledge, human knowledge. We'll talk about that when we get into the virtues a little bit later. Unto a perfect man, there's that word again, unto the measure of the stature, not statue. That's a statue. God doesn't want a statue. He wants stature, height development, growth. He wants you to grow up. That we henceforth be no more children. Now, this is Paul and Peter. All these different ones are trying to say, look, you need to be more mature. We all need to be more mature. Amen. Now, if he's saying that back in the first church age, what about the seventh church age when we are what? Predestinated unto adoption. Amen. And you've got to come to this before you can come to adoption. You've got to come to a stature or a growth development. We'll talk about that in a minute. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. I'll read a quote here in just a minute. Brother Ram says, you know, you need to quit. Stop going from church to church and running around. Amen. Find you a good place and stay there. Amen. I'm not telling you that. Brother Bram told you that. Because you can't be settled. We can't be wandering stars. Wondering whether this is right and wondering whether that's right. And carried about with every wind of doctrine. There we go again. Every wind of doctrine. Like Brother Aaron was talking about. Man, I'm telling you. I like that where the Bible says, considering the end of your conversation. Amen. Like I said before, there was a preacher years and years ago. that preached a memorial service, or Memorial Day service for Brother Homer. And he preached the best sermon on the millennium I have heard in my life. Till today, till now. Things that he brought out, and little intricacies, and the little things that he brought out. 2 months later, he was put in jail for sleeping with a 14-year-old girl. And now I think he's back preaching again. That ain't failing, that's falling. Okay? We all fail. But you see what I'm saying? When you get the anointing on somebody, it's the true anointing of God, and he can preach his heart out and be an anointed one. But to put the word together and just keep going, it's like Brother Brown said, he wants time-tested Christians. He wants somebody that the time has tested us. Listen, you and I look way different than we did 20 years ago. Because time has tested us. We have things that are used to not be there, and things in places that never used to be. Amen? But that's time-tested humans. Now, what about time-tested Christians? You need to be not babies anymore. We need to grow up. But look, what they do, though, they sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, what may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And he's the church. He's the head of the church, right? He's building his body. He is the head. He doesn't need a head.
That's right.
He is the head.
Amen.
He is the husband. He is not looking for another groom. He knows who he wants.
Amen.
All right? Another bride. He is the groom, and you're the bride. That's it. There's no, as Brother Brown said many times, there's been brides, brides, churches, brides, but he's had to put them all away. He has to put them all away until he got the right one. And we are the right one because we are the ones called to perfection. Amen. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. I like that word, compacted. It's not just loosely fit. It's compacted because on that statue of perfect man, when you see this Holy Spirit right here, we'll see it on the chart. You see this right here? That's not getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We know that. But that is sealing or compacting all these inside of you. And then he's able to use you by adoption. He's able to what? Say, here's the keys. Here's my word. You speak it and I'll back it up. Then the word goes to speaking. Everybody all right? According to the effectual working. Effectual. We got to work. All right? And the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. And what's that very top one up there? It is love. That is love. The stature of the fullness of Christ. But you got to start somewhere. Let's look at the Greek lexicon on the next one, excuse me. And let's see what that means, stature of the fullness of Christ. That's age, adult age, maturity. Look, suitable age for anything. He didn't say just certain things. Suitable age for anything. Metaphorically, of an attained state fit for a thing. In other words, you're going to attain a certain thing. You're going to attain to virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. That's what our God has given us. It's kind of strange how Brother Branham preached the God the night he preached Statue of Perfect Man in the daytime. Because we needed that God. I don't see how in the world that people think that we have to go all the way up here to get the Holy Ghost. I'll prove it in just a few minutes. There's no way for you to know what these virtues are unless you got the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you can't even call Jesus the Christ without having the Holy Ghost. So I don't know how in the world, if you can't call Jesus the Christ, which these are all his attributes, how in the world are we going to be able to do that? No, you get the cart before the horse. Amen? Cow eating grass in the top of the tree. You got the cow right, you got the grass right, but he's in the wrong place. Amen? So let's watch what we're doing. All right, so let's pull that chart. The first chart is going to be everything. This is one that Bob did that he pulled up this morning. We're going to pull it up and just kind of give an overview, and then we're going to break it apart. All right, so they'll get it. Look, watch how they fade that out. Now watch how I feed it up again. There we go. But now this is the chart Brother Branham drew. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And the capstone is love. And then we just broke this apart, as Bob did, and then I'm just stealing it from him. So then he did something else for me, because look, as we see this, this is it. This is, to me, if you look at this chart, you will see a body change. You will see the Son of Man being walking and breathing and talking again in human beings. The headstone has come. The seals has been opened to you. We know they're open in 63, but they got to open to you individually to see the plan of redemption, the full plan, not just this plan here. Not just this plan here. But we are supposed to come to the headstone. That is our mandate for today, yes, is to let God, amen, be preeminent in our life, right, and in our flesh. Amen. Amen. He's preeminent in our soul down here. Yes. Everybody with me? Say amen. He's preeminent in our soul. Yes. Old nature's gone. We'll talk about it in just a second. But then we got to what? Look at this little baby right here. See the little shadow? You're a little baby. But then you got to grow up more. Then grow up more. I mean, man, look at your own life. Your own life proves that there's a statue of a perfect man. Brother Branham just brought everything together to show us exactly what was going on. And then listen, you're not a son and daughter of God until you're born again. Everybody all right with that? You're not. Can y'all see that? I'll step over here. You can't be a son and daughter of God until you're born again. But once you get born again, you are son and daughter of God. We'll read it in just a minute in Romans. But then you are a son of God. Well, now that son of God is what? That's, as we were typing through the church ages and the different things, we see this ministry coming up. And it's coming up to what? It's more narrow, more narrow, more narrow. Till it comes to the Holy Spirit that wells everything together. And then God, according to Luke 17:30, Revelations 10:7, the different ones, that Son of Man's got to come back. Amen. And it's not that person in his flesh. It's his person in your flesh. Yes, amen. Because his body can't be on earth and him have a bride on earth at the same time. Right. He'd have two brides, right. Two bodies. Can't have two bodies. But he told us in St. John 17, he said, Lord, I pray that they be one that like we're one. So when his hand moved, God's hand moved. When your hand moved, God's hand moved. Oh, brother, wait, that don't happen. See, we'll go back again. There's the failures. But I believe the one inside of me is perfect. And when he tells me to move that hand, it's perfection. Sometimes you can't swallow that. But you better start learning how to eat so you can swallow. Amen? Let that mother eagle chew it up a little bit and come on Wednesday and come on Sunday again and come on Bible study and you just keep eating and guess what's going to happen? You're going to get fed. Amen? All right, so may grow up in all things, adult, full age, maturity, suitable age for anything. So now let's look at 1 Corinthians. Take that back off and we'll put the other chart up in just a second. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19. I love Scripture. I usually read a lot of quotes. I haven't read many quotes. I just read Scripture because, listen, Scripture, if you look at Scripture, we see the divine interpretation. The Brother Brown gives us the divine interpretation of the Scripture, right? But now remember, then he goes off the scene and that divine interpreter or perfecter is now in you. Amen. It's not one man standing behind the pulpit that has the perfect Word of God. He's gone, done his job, and gone off the scene. Now he's in a fivefold ministry. The perfecter is now speaking through a fivefold ministry that should be more mature than they were 10 years ago, 2 years ago, or 6 months ago. All right, now look. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words. It's like Brother Bob was talking about. I ain't going to say it. Never mind. It's become a dance show now. Bob knows what I'm doing, man. It's become a dance show. Go online and look at some of these places, some of these camps and stuff. It's become a dance show. I'm sorry. Pretending to dance to God is wrong. Right. Dancing in the Spirit is a whole different thing. Amen. Amen? And you can tell the difference. Amen. Someone told me a long time ago, he said, you know, I remember when my mama and my daddy used to, he's out in the world, he's a deer hunting friend of mine. He said, my mama and daddy used to run the benches and said, one time, mama fell and broke her leg. I said, well, you know me. I said, well, that wasn't God. Right. That was your mama.
That's right.
Because God ain't going to let that happen if it's God. Amen. Amen. You can walk on coals of fire, but let me tell you something. You better be careful and make sure it's God. Amen. Just say it. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding.
Amen.
This is Paul. That by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Not just 10 words, Paul. Not just 1,000. 10,000 words in an unknown language. Let me speak five words of understanding.
Amen.
Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding, be men.
Amen.
Wow. And the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me. You hear what that is? And the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto the people. He says, okay, but hang on a minute. And yet all that will not hear me, they're not going to all hear me. They're just going to all start shouting and speaking in tongues. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Look, not to them that believe. I'm sorry, I'm reading the Bible. Everybody believe the Bible's right?
Amen.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure we had a good congregation here today. What Brother Brown say? I'm in the right one now. There's believers here. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophecy. Prophecy. Service not for them that believe not, but for them which believe.
Amen.
Today, we're hearing prophecy.
Yes.
And prophecy is being made manifest.
Amen.
Paul is prophesying of a group of people to come.
Yes.
We're the people.
Amen.
Peter prophesying of, add to your faith, you'll never fall if you do these things. But he that lacketh these things is blind.
Yes, sir.
And can't see it far off. In other words, can't see revelation. Everybody with me today?
Amen.
Now let's go to quote number two, and it'll tie every bit of this together. Now remember what I said, look, prophesying serveth not for them that believeth not, but for them which believe. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the church age book, we still believe in that book.
Amen.
Amen. You'll recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. That's here.
Amen.
Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Not the one up there. Down here. That to begin with, then it takes you up to there. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we will what? Fail to get it. Everybody with me? Now listen. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study. God sent a prophet. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real.
Amen.
It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
Come on, everybody do this, because some of y'all are falling asleep. Give me right the image. Put your hands together. Do this. You're not doing it to me, you're doing it to God. You need to say, God, keep me awake. It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse with verse. That's like me. That's like me and Albert Einstein. Okie dokie. Me trying to explain the theory of relativity to him. I believe you missed it, my son. So it's not a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good, though that's okay. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. Can't see. Blind. It never becomes clear. Let's read number three. Is this a sign of the end, sir? Get ready to pull that chart up, brothers. The second one. The mysteries. Here is the mystery. I read this last weekend. A mystery is Scripture. All right? Hello. A mystery is Scripture. Scripture is written with different layers to it. Everybody with me? Brother Branham says compound meaning, dual meaning. Okay? A mystery of Scripture is a previously hidden truth now divinely revealed. But which a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. All right, here's what we're going to do. You see this right here, and we see that all, even all of Christendom, from Paul's age or Peter's age, and all down, all the way up to where I'm standing today, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He tells Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. That's not got away from that. It's not got away from that. But man has put his own interpretation to it and got away from it. God didn't get away from it. But see, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as a second person. I'm going to take this water baptism in Matthew versus the one in Acts because this is what Jesus said. I thought he wrote the whole thing. Right? I thought he wrote all of it. Is he that confused? He's really confused because you know what he done on top of that? He gave the man that said that in the book of Acts the key to the kingdom. Peter? No, don't say that. No, when it clicked on earth, it had to click in heaven. But man's theology, their knowledge, not the knowledge of that knowledge, but the knowledge of man has interpreted and diluted the word of God down through the church ages, even good people. You know, Luther was a Trinitarian, but God's never been a Trinitarian. The Holy Ghost has never been. See, that to me is a paradox. The Holy Ghost has never been a Trinitarian. But he was inside of Luther, and Luther was a Trinitarian. Because you know what? Man's thoughts got involved. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. And it wasn't time for him to get it. He saw what he could see, and that was it. All right? Everybody with me? Remember, let's be not children. Let's say, listen, even Brother Bram, in another quote, he says, we are prophetic people with prophetic insight. This prophetic insight has done what? It has opened this new world to know there's a dispensation of the Son of God, a dispensation of the Son of Man, a dispensation of the Son of David. And thank God he sent a prophet. Amen. Everybody believe God sent a prophet? Amen. Okay. That was kind of weak, but that's okay. We'll get through that. But there's a supernatural element besides the revelation. Listen, when God revealed himself to you to get the new birth, this is to get the new birth, all right? When he come to you and said, be my child, all right? That's a layer. That's God fulfilling his promise. Acts 2:38, all right? You go be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you can receive the Holy Ghost without being baptized. Amen. But you won't receive the Holy Ghost and not be baptized. Right. The correct way. Right. In this end time. All right? Did I make that right? Amen. All right? Okay. But the supernatural element is that, I mean, you know, and I hate it in most realms, when you say perfection, talk to somebody. Really nail it down to even just a good Baptist or a good Pentecostal. Say, God told us to be perfect. Yeah. He told us to be perfect. Be therefore perfect. Yeah. First thing out of their mouth, you ain't perfect and I ain't perfect. You got problems and I got problems. You got this and you got that. You got this. The problem is, herein lies the problem, is like Brother Brown said in Marriage and Divorce, it's misinterpreted theology. Yeah. Because the Baptist is like one saved, always saved. So if you ever get saved one time, it doesn't matter what you do afterwards. Pentecostal said, oh, just come on, make sure you speak in tongues. You got the Holy Ghost. Now, how many wives you got? Will you talk to you at the liquor store? You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying not talk to you, but talk to people. But the supernatural element is to me and you. Because we're prophetic people. The seals have been opened. And we have been required not to just see them, but to walk in them. We've been required to be them. We're required to not just read the word, but be the word. That is our requirement. Our mandate is to be prophetic people. knowing that God wants. Listen, even if you suppress the Holy Ghost, all right, and you can, because remember, you can grieve him. He's still sitting there going, if you'll open that door, I'll walk through it. The doorknob's on your side, buddy. The doorknob's on your side. I can't do nothing but knock. I can't do anything but take a 5-4 ministry and knock at your door. Please let me in. But you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to knock that door down. He's a timid God. He's a good God, but he's just. You're going to get in on your goodness, I promise you that. All right, let's go to chart number two. This is how we're going to break it apart. Brother Bob helped me with this. Or he didn't help me, he actually did it. So, now if you can't see that, come on up toward the front. Some of us that are a little bit older. Yeah, I see that. But this is to begin your journey. Piggybacking off of what Brother Aaron was talking about. This begins your journey. You cannot have a journey with God without being justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. No way. Because you are born in sin, shaping in iniquity. You are contrary to God. Just like I said before. Listen, you were born contrary to God. So I don't know what all this, you know. We were this great something. Listen, we were great in God's mind. But when God's mind, listen, God's mind got sealed. When Adam and Eve couldn't produce a son or daughter of God, God sealed that up in his mind and said, I'm going to bring them, but I got to bring them a different way. To be a healer, to be a savior, to be a redeemer, I've got to let them make a choice. And he knew their choice would be to get lost. And the womb of her mind and then her body was so polluted he could not use it anymore. Everybody with me? To me, that's a simple plan of redemption. But we were always in the mind of God. Waiting for our time to come through sex, through Brother Brown said, take this one and breed to this one and bring this one. How'd y'all all get here? It's a mystery. How you got here, I'm talking about, here in this building. It's a mystery. Boy, it's a mystery. Had to come through some things. Had to come a little different way. But it's a testimony. It's a life that brings you what? Right here. To a foundation of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's read this one more. I kind of got a little ahead of myself. So let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 10. But leave that up there and put it up over here if you don't mind. Man, we got all kind of cameras and stuff going on around here. That's good. Yeah, put the scripture up over there and leave that over there. Because we got to go through justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost before God will start even using you. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Now sanctification is clean and set aside for service. But the prophet of God said not in service. He can't trust you with the keys to the car. Everybody with me? All right? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. All right? What's your inheritance? Eternal life. All right, let's just stay. Oh, no, hold on. Stay down here. Your inheritance is eternal life. Your inheritance is not what you get from your mom and daddy down here. Your inheritance is what you get from your Father in heaven. It's an eternal inheritance. It's one that won't go away. Everybody with me? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, look, after. After. Not after up here. Right. After right here. Right. After you heard the word of truth. Amen. The gospel of what? Your salvation. Amen. In whom also after that ye believed. Oh, Brother Wade, I always was this. And it just, you know, I heard the preacher say the other day, it just come alive. Well, that's okay. That's fine. But why didn't it come alive before? Because you had to hear the word. You had to physically hear the word of God. You had to hear God calling your name. From the mind of God, he's calling your name, knowing that you were going to come to this place and be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen?
Amen.
Done with this stuff. I'm here, Lord. That happened to me. I know it happened to y'all. After that you believe. You got to believe in something. Oh, this up here is not believing at first. You don't even know what virtue is. You don't even know what knowledge and temperance is without having the Holy Ghost. But look, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed.
Amen.
With that Holy Spirit of promise. And like I said before, if you're filled with the Holy, if you have the new birth, right here, you can't fall any further back.
Right?
You're a Christian. You don't have to go through the tribulation. You don't have to stand and watch on judgment. You get a free ticket. Because you accepted him right here. Not up there at the top. Everybody got me? Your journey begins right here. Now listen. Then Brother Brown says, your eternal destination begins at the altar. Is that not what he said? Begins at the altar. Where? Right here. God knows where you're going to be on up this way, but your eternal life begins. What? Begins. Begins. The journey. Begins the journey. Listen, before you were born again, you didn't know how to do this. You didn't care. I'm sorry. Y'all must have went somewhere I didn't. Some of y'all. No, I didn't care. I didn't care about God. I'll be honest with you. I knew of a God. I knew that he was doing good for mom and dad and different ones, but me? I didn't care. He was the furthest away from my thoughts at one time. Amen? Let's just listen, this is one big confessional booth today. Hey, if we don't get it right, we can't start. I told somebody one time, I said, look, if you start something wrong, you can't make it right 5 years down the road. You got to make it, you got to go back to the foundation and make it right. With anything that you do, if you start it wrong. It's like Brother Branham, with most of you know about hunting. You start right here and you have to line those sights up. If you might be it from here to that wall, you might be off just maybe a quarter of an inch. But that bullet will never, as he get further and shoot further and further away, that bullet never comes back to where it's supposed to. Unless you come back here and adjust it. Go back to the table, to the bench that you're shooting on. You got to adjust it that quarter of an inch, because a quarter of an inch at this distance from here to that lady's house or the neighbor's house up there, you might be off this far. If you're 100 yards, you may be so far off you're hitting the neighbor's cow instead of hitting the target. But remember, that bullet never comes back. You have to come back here. You have to come back here and get it right to start with. Focus that thing in right. Get it right together. And put the front sight with the back sight. And then shoot the bullet. Which is the earnest. See, you're sealed right here. And what is an earnest? It's your down payment. If you're born again, the day you got born again, you got a down payment on the possession of the whole house. But you've got 7 payments to make. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got 7 payments to make to get to your payoff of the home or your body change. I think some of y'all are more excited about your home mortgage being paid off than you are body change. It would help, but that's temporal. This is eternal. Now look, Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and read it. And Paul admonishing the Corinthians again, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So he comes to the Corinthians. He sees them doing all kind of things that the Ephesian church is not doing. But you know what? Paul didn't say, y'all bunch of bastard children. Get out of here. No, he finds out there's fornicators, there's whoremongers. Read Corinthians. Right? A boy living with his stepmom in the church. And he goes on over in Corinthians. He said, such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. We'll read that maybe later on. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. That's a question you need to ask yourself. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, division, are you not carnal and walk as men? He's asking the Corinthians. This is his church. This is not the Corinthians just running around outside. This is the people that Paul is preaching to. His congregation. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. In other words, he goes to the Ephesian church and he speaks to them about predestination and about all these different things and how they're like, praise God. And then he comes over to Corinthians and he sees this and he says, y'all babies. A bunch of babies. But I'm going to take you babies, though, and I'm going to teach you. Because he goes back to Corinthians, Corinth three times. Y'all know that? He went to Corinth three times. So, you know what? Paul didn't, first time he didn't say, all right, I'm done with you, I'm out of here. No, he goes back again. He goes back again. And he goes back again. You know why? Because he sees some seed there. He sees it working, but it's not coming. You know, the seed's laying in there. We know that. But it's the word that they heard. Misinterpreted theology is what got us all in trouble, so it got the Corinthians in trouble. They were believing, or I think they were kind of heathens anyway. Believing in no God or anything like that. So Paul brings them a message like we're trying to do today. We're trying to bring a message and break it down to where you can see this. So the chart here, we're going to start here real quick, and then we'll close and start back this afternoon. Excuse me. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Grow thereby. If so be you have what? If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious at your new birth. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Talking about you. Ye also as lively stones are built up. Amen. He didn't know what to call it. You say, oh, now wait, brother. No, he did not know what to call it. Paul did not know how to call it the stature of a perfect man. Amen. But he's preaching it. Amen. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. No, that's Jesus Christ. Then ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. The spiritual sacrifices is right here. Spiritual sacrifices. Amen. You don't get spiritual nothing until you get the new birth. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Everybody okay? Amen. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer us up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon, but I want you to look at this right here. Chief cornerstone. Where's the cornerstone? Foundation. Foundation stone. Little bitty pyramid right here. Little bitty pyramid over there, but it's going to grow into a big pyramid. Grow into a big pyramid. Everybody with me? But what is it doing, though? Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be, what? Confounded. Confused. Unto ye, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, you can be disobedient and not get these virtues. Think about it. Everybody with me? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. What? The foundation. The same is made the head of the corner. God's going to have a church.
Amen.
He's just going to build it, and he's going to go to the top. Yeah. And a stone of stumbling to some, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Yeah. He made it pretty plain there. Stumble at the word, right. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, and then we'll get ready for the musicians to come. 2 Peter 1. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have what? Obtained. Not just woke up one day and I got it. Obtained, like precious faith, with us. Was Peter born again? Somebody answer. Was Peter born again? Day of Pentecost. Holy Ghost fell on 120. Peter was there. So he's got the new birth. So now, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. Satan does not have divine power. You as a human mortal does not have divine power. There's only one man divine and only one person and only one thing divine. And that's God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only divine person there is. But where is he today? What? What'd you say, brother? Where? In you? Surprise! Oh, you too? Oh, surprise! Well, that's the only two in the building. Everybody else is just looking at me. According as his divine power hath given unto us. So now he's given us something.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. Even how to run your life.
Right.
Your human mortal life.
Yes, sir.
And godliness.
Amen.
Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by what? The prophet said, by these promises. You might be partakers. When you go sit down and eat, do you look at your food? No, you partake. Especially if it's good. You partake. All right? That you might be partakers of the divine nature. Not just look at it, not just see it, not just hope you're part of it.
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's your born again experience. That's this right here that we're going to start on this afternoon. This right here is where you start your Christian journey. It plugs you in to God. It plugs you into the Almighty and unplugs you from the world. Now, I know the world's going to be around you and inside that memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Satan is going to play. That is his playground. Right? But if you're born again in your soul, you are not just like God. You are God.
Amen.
You're not just almost perfect. It has already been perfected.
Amen.
Just let it out.
Yes,
somebody ought to say that.
Amen.
I've only said it like 50 times since January. But look, are we done? I'm born again. Give me a cot. Give me a nice warm bed. Give me Toby, my little doggy. I'm done. I'm a Christian. You know what? You can do that. But how in the world is the Holy Ghost going to do that? The Holy Ghost can't do that. It's going to keep pushing you. It's going to keep pushing. You can deny it all you want to. But he's just going to keep pushing. Because look, there's something coming. And beside this. And beside this, Sister Rebecca, beside this divine nature, beside this divine, all the oracles of God, you went through water baptism, we'll get to it this afternoon, the justification, you've done everything to do, besides this, add. And besides this, giving all diligence, add. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. Stand! Besides all this, add! And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Add! Brother Wade, what are we going to add? We'll read it this afternoon in blasphemous names. Brother Branham talks about Sister Shepherd's dream. Said she was worried about having the Holy Ghost. She laid down across the duofold and went to sleep. And she dreamed a dream that she was on a mountain. I'll read this afternoon as they're coming. She dreamed a dream. Now look what she dreamed. She saw a large man standing on top of this mountain, basically, with work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing the most pure water that she ever seen into this box. Everybody with me? This rock box was sitting on top of the mountain. Take the cap off now. It's just top of the mountain right here. Everybody with me? And the rock box would not hold the water. And it rolled out. It boiled out all the trash and sticks. Oh, brother, wait, when I'm born again, I don't have no trash and sticks. That's your first lie. The second one's coming pretty quick. That I've got everything I need. Yeah, you do, but you got to let it out. But that's what the prophet of God said in this dream. Said, just boiled up all the trash and sticks, look, and everything in there, and boiled it out and rolled it down the mountain. And it rolled over her feet. She was standing at the bottom. The foundation. The water was the new birth. Right? She was standing. Her question was, do I have the new birth, Brother Branham? She was standing in the new birth. Yes. Standing in the water. But they were still trash and dirt and all that stuff coming out of her. Yes. Because that's where you add to your faith, yes, virtue. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Oh, greater is he
that is in me, and greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Listen to this.
Satan's like a roaring lion. Running to,
he's running in that spirit realm. He's seeking to devour and take away what God give you. But he can't get in your soul if you're born again.
Have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcome.
How many overcomers? We got overcomers in the building?
That is in me, and greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Sing this.
Oh, on the day of Pentecost.
That's what we've been talking about. A rushing mighty wind.
It flew into the upper room.
It baptized them all, but they didn't just go back. Jesus Christ without being scared of anything. They took that word of God and took it to the world. That's what you and I got to do.
The world knows that greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is.
Sing of course as we dismiss.
Oh, greater is he that is in me.
You're dismissed. Back at 2 o'clock. We'll have communion after service.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Oh, Satan's like a roaring lion,
especially those new people. The new people. God bless you, buddy. Love you, man. Love you.